The different years that the weekly Shia has taken on different formats. So this year we've taken on the format that we did last year as well, in terms of shadows of the week. Certain hopefully interesting shadows, hopefully fascinating shadows that have come our way to try to elaborate upon this. Years ago, when I used to say these similar style chaburas in yeshiva, so we used to be on the halacha relating to the parsha, similar to what we do in Ashur, Tivin Chamayev, and Shabbos afternoon. So every once in a while, the two converge together. Sometimes you end up, you get good luck, and you get a shadow that is a shadow of the week that really was presented to me, and lo and behold, it happens to really be in Yom Yom, in the sense of it's a real shadow that happens in the parsha also. So this is one of those few times that we luck out on both fronts, that believe it or not, that I received a shout a couple of days ago about relating to a woman performing a bris milah, which happens to be in this week's parsha, because Tzipora does in fact perform the bris milah on her son in parsha Shmos, and this opens up a whole halachic discussion about what the role is of the woman vis-a-vis being a, for lack of a better term, being a mohelas. So the shayla, somebody called me a couple of days ago with the following shayla, that they were asked by a relative of theirs. The relative is not quite yet completely shomer Torah mitzvahs. They were asked by the relative to be a sandik for the bris. So very honored, a pleasure, of course. Love to be the sandik. Then the relative gave him a little bit of a tip off and said, and by the way, I just want to let you know before you come that the mohel is going to be a woman. So just in case you're not comfortable, you know, I just want to let you know in advance. So the person said, thank you so much. They called me up. I was in Eretz Yisrael. They called me up in emergency to find out, Rabbi, what do I do? Can I be the sandik when the mohel is the mohelet? That was the shalom. So I didn't want to discuss all the nuances and the agendas and the overtones and undertones of these kinds of these and other related issues. So I was just focusing on the pure halachic issue, namely, is the bris going to be a kosher bris? The bris not going to be a kosher bris. So the answer is, as we'll see as we go on, to machlekes the gemara, machlekes the rishon, the halacha. So I said to him that I thought it was better maybe to defer on this kibbut. Maybe we'll pass off this kibbut to somebody else. But just from the pure halachic point of view, is the bris going to be an acceptable bris or not? So that's a real sugya. And in fact, the source of the sugya is a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. And the source of that sugya really revolves around Pesukim, actually in Parshas Shmos. So we get it on both fronts. So the sugya begins in the first of the Makomos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Dav Chav Zayin Ben Aleph. Gemara says, B'nayin l'mila b'evik echom shipsula. How do you know that a non-Jew cannot serve as a mohel? So even though the Gemara here presents it almost like a given, like a statement of fact, so the Gemara says, not so simple. That's actually b'chlekes ha-tanoim. So the Gemara continues on a little bit further. If we skip on to three lines into the Gemara, Itmar, where the Gemara brings the question back again, and the Gemara says, "Minay lemila b'kam shipsula." What is the real source for this din? Assuming that the din is true, so the Gemara quotes a machlekes amarim. Doru bar papa mishvei derav amar ve'atoz brisi sishbo. Doru bar papa, we recognize his name, one of the 10 sons of our papa from the Hadrons. So Doru bar papa said in the name of Rav that the source that a non-Jew cannot be a moel is derived from the pasuk ve'atoz brisi sishmor. So the connotation being that only somebody who himself is involved in the bris has the ability to transfer that bris to somebody else. And so a non-Jew obviously has not been bris, he's not included in the mitzvah bris milah, therefore he doesn't have the ability to be a kosher moel. For Rabbi Yochanan had a different source, himol yimol. That himol yimol is a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, which means you shall surely be mal, a double lashon. So the Gemara has a drasha, himol yimol, it's almost like it says hamal yimol. Someone who himself is mal, he can be the mohel. Someone who himself is not mauled, like the non-Jew, he cannot be the mohel. The Gemara then goes on to explain that even if, for some reason, the non-Jew happens to be medically circumcised, that's still not called mahul. Mahul is a halachic statement. That means a Jew, that a bris milah, but there is mitzvah, he's called a mohel. If you have a non-Jew who happens to be circumcised, he's still up, he didn't call it RL. So at the end of the day, the Gemara has two sources for this opinion. I didn't even say that everyone agrees to this opinion, but within this opinion that a goy cannot be a mohel, it's unclear what the source is. Either the source is Yata's Brisi Sishmor, or the source is Himo Yimo. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, what's the difference? If at the end of the day, both Amoroim are subscribing to the view that it's not acceptable, does it really make much of a difference whether the source is Vyat Tabrisi, whether the source is Himo Himo? Himo says yes, it makes a difference, not vis-a-vis a non-Jew, but vis-a-vis a woman. It'll be a nafkamina whether a woman can serve as a mohel. What's the issue? Leman diyomar viatas brisi sishmor leika the isha lav bas milohi. That if you hold that in order to be a kosher mohel, you have to be given the bris of mila, you have to be included in the covenant and the treaty of mila. So a woman, she's 100% Jewish, but she's not included in the bris mila. So therefore, a woman would not be acceptable. But uleman diyomar himo yimo. But if you hold that it's not so much a function of do you have the bris of mila, but it's a function of are you mahul? So the Gemara is a very strange statement. Ika de isha kamanda mihila damya. A woman is as if she is mahul. Since she doesn't have an oral, she doesn't have an oral altogether. So the woman, by definition, is ki'ilu she's mahul, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, she would be acceptable if the source to disqualify a non-Jew would be himo himo. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says, as a machlekes atanoim, whether a goy could serve as a mahul. Whatever the source of why a goy cannot serve as a mohel doesn't make much of a difference vis-a-vis goyim, but it does make a difference concerning women. So according to one interpretation, a woman would be acceptable to be a moheles. According to the other view, a woman would not be acceptable. So yes, the Gemara, can anybody really say that a woman can't be a mohel? It's a fair share possible, this week's parasha. V'aksiva tikach tzipora tzor. It says that Tzipora takes the rock and she performs a bris mila on her son. So says the Gemara, no, kari bei vatokach. It doesn't mean that she took it herself. It means she had somebody else take it on her behalf. She had a man do the bris on her behalf. I ask the Gemara about ksifa tichros. It sounds like she mamish did the cutting of the oral itself. Kari bei vatachres. Not that we would actually read it that way. If a Balkari would ever read it, vatachres, we would correct him. It means that's ki'ilu, it says. It's as if the Torah says that she had somebody do it for her. The amalin shacharin of yavan. So according to the opinion that says that a woman is not acceptable to be a moheles, how do you learn pshad the psukum of Pasha Shmos? There must be the psukum alav dafka. That means she had somebody else do it. Vibay seima, or if you want, I'll give you another answer. Asya Eve, Aschala, Asya Moshe, Agmara. That she started the process, physically she started it, but the actual meal itself, the actual cutting itself, was really done by Moshe Rabbeinu. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says there's no ironclad proof from these psukim that a woman can be a mohelet. It sounds that way. The pshuta shel mikra sounds like a woman can be a mohelet, but the Gemara says that's not necessarily convincing. There are ways to refute this proof, and therefore, at the end of the day, it's a machlokes amoraim. So how do we pass in halacha? What is the din? Is a woman kasher or not? So Tosas in the second of the Maamar Makomos quotes the machlokes rishon. Isha la bas mila yesh livso karav. The ain isha kasher lamul. So Tosas in the first opinion says we should follow the view of Rav, who maintains that a woman cannot be a mohel. The alpha gav the Rav Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Yochanan. Even though we have one of the rules of Pesach is whenever there's machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we almost always side with Rabbi Yochanan. So over here, Rabbi Yochanan accepted a woman. It was only Rav will disqualify a woman. So we should follow the Klali Apsak of Rabbi Yochanan. We should be Mekil. Says Tosas, no. This is one of the exceptions of the rule, that we follow the view of Rav. The Braisa, the Rabbi Danasi, because there happens to be a Braisa that the Gemara quoted earlier, in the name of Rabbi Danasi, that supports Rav. So the first opinion of Tosas is that even though based on the regular Klali Apsak, we should have been Mekil, but there's a Braisa that trumps the regular Klali Apsak. Aval, says Tosas, Baal Alochas Gedolus Pasuk Tisha Ksher Lamul. Nevertheless, the Baal Alochas Gedolus Paskins the way Tosas said we should have Paskin, but originally we thought we should Paskin. We should Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact she is Ksherah. So at the end of the day, it's a Machloikis Amaroim. At the end of the day, it's a Machloikis Rishonim. And actually, both opinions appear in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mekilim, and the Ramah quotes the Machmirim. And the Ramah writes that minig is like the Machmirim. We don't do this. We don't have a Lahoyot Dvar Miel. We never have a woman being a Mohel. Even though, according to many opinions, it in fact would be acceptable. So this issue that we're dealing with now is in terms of a woman's kashrus of being a Mohel. If the woman does a bris, would we say the bris was acceptable? You were yaitz in the midst of bris mila. Would I say no? That the whole bris is psula. What would the ramifications be of the bris is psula? If you hold like that view of the bris is psula, so what are we supposed to do about that? So that's a further question. Whenever you have a bris that was done by psul, do we say it was done by psul? Sorry, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't rectify it. But then we say, no, whenever a bris was done b'psul, we would insist on a hatafas tam bris. We would insist on drawing a little bit of symbolic blood to be almost like a secondary, like a substitute for the mitzvah bris milos. That's a further shaila. And even assuming that that would be necessary, according to those opinions, that a bris that was done b'psul would require a hatafas tam bris, there's a further question, is that a din min ha-Torah? Is that only a din min d'rabbanan? So a lot of sveikas as to, we're not even sure whether a woman is k'sheira p'sula. Imtim Tzolomish is Psula, we're not sure what we're supposed to do about it, if anything. And even if we're supposed to do something about it, we're not so sure to what degree we're supposed to do something about it. But I'll call upon him again, in the normal circumstances, we would never permit this. The Midrash Yisrael has been for quite some time that women are not used to be a mohel, because since it's unclear what the final Pesach Halach is, the last thing we would want to do is take a risk that the child's not going to have a kosher bris. So nobody, bizman hazeh, at least nobody should be using a woman to be a mohel. But up until now, we've been talking about whether a woman is ksheir absolut to a bris. The question is, does she have any obligation to a bris? Is she chayeves to any degree in performing the mitzvah bris on a male? And that question is going to now become related to our question whether she's ksheira or not. So if you go back to the second of the Mamakamos, so Tosus raises the following question. Tosus says at the end of the second line, Ularav the Omer ain't ksheira lamol. According to Rav's view that she is not acceptable to be a moel, how do we deal with the following? Tzorach lefarsh berakavad kedushin, the matzich of sovla osa lemedra she'ena chayevas lomo bina han levakish lemohalo. There is a gemara meseches kedushin on daf chavtes where the gemara tells us that a father is obligated to be mal his son. How do we know that? Because it says v'yomal Abraham esitzach bino bino kashetziva solokim. So it was a real mitzachi of gomor on the father to be mal the child. The gemara in the same breath says kashetziva oso elokim. The Tosha Rappe explains to us, Oso velo Osa, he is obligated to be Mal's child, she is not obligated. Sari Meinu had no obligation to be Mal Yitzchok. And from here we derive a din for all generations, that a mother is not obligated to be Mal her son. So comes Tosin and raises the question, why do we need a Pasuk to tell me that a woman is not obligated to be Mal her son? According to half the opinions of the Gemara, she couldn't be Mal her son if she wanted to. If she would do it, it wouldn't be acceptable. If she would do it, we may have to fix it up with a tafas damris. If she would do it, it's psulim in a Torah. So what's the Gemara in Kedushin Chavtes pilpling about? Are women obligated? Are they not obligated? Is there a posuk? Is not a posuk back and forth? Forget about whether they can't do it anyway. How in the world could you have an obligation on a mitzvah that you cannot do? So Tosu says, how do we understand that Gemara in Kedushin that requires a posuk to exempt a woman from the mitzvah meal on her son? Isn't it obvious she can't do it because she's not obligated because she can't do it because she's psula? So Seth tells us now that I would have made a case to say that a mother is obligated not to do the actual cutting itself. The mother to the cutting, that's out of the question. She's psula. Maybe she has an obligation to call a moel. She has an obligation to hire a moel. She has an obligation to get somebody else to do it. So Seth tells us the whole discussion in Kedusha Dav Chavtes, is a mother obligated, is a mother not obligated? The Gemara concludes that a mother is not obligated. That obligation, a lack thereof, was not referring to Mila proper. Mila proper was never even on the radar screen. Of course she's not obligated. She can't do it. So what's Shach for her to be obligated? That discussion was, does she have an obligation to get somebody else to do it? And at the end of the day, even that she's exempt from. So when all the dust settles, the woman should not be the mohelet. And when all the dust settles, a woman does not have any obligation of Mila on her son. Not to do it herself, and not even to hire somebody else. And that's included in the pasuk of Kashetiva Oso Elokim Oso Velo Osa. Oh, very good, excellent. That pasuk, right, that is correct. That pasuk is Kodem Antara. The Gemara is learning out some dinim ledoros, even from those pasukim, even from that pasuk of Pasha Lech Lecha. The Rambam writes in Perashim Shnayis that we perform mitzvahs not because Avraham Avinu performed them. We refrain from Gid Anosha, not because Yaakov Avinu refrained from it. We perform all mitzvahs because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai the whole Torah, from Bereishis till the end of the Zos HaBracha. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote it into the Torah in Parshas Lech Lecha as a Lashon Tzivoi. So we are performing, we can derive Dinim L'Doiros from those Pesachim. This is not the only place. The Gemara learns Dinim L'Doiros from the Pesachim of Gid Anosha. The Gemara learns Dinim L'Doiros from the Dinim of Peravu. Even though they were, in a sense, Prima and Torah. What we tend not to do is we tend not to learn from stories, Prima and Torah, Dinim, but actual Tzivuyim, we in fact do learn. So this halacha that the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, that a woman is exempt from Mila on her son, so there is a famous question that all the Rishonim are bothered with, why do we need that pasuk? The necessity of that pasuk seems to indicate that if not for the Gezeiras HaKosov, not for the special pasuk to exempt a woman from Mila on her son, I would have said that a woman is obligated. I would have said just as a father is obligated to be Mala's son, so to a woman is obligated to be Mala's son as well. So Kamz tells us in the third of the Mamakomus in Kedusha Chavtes, and poses the question, V'im Toimar, Lama Lankra, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a mother doesn't have to do a bris? Tepuk leg the mitzvah es shazman grama. Says Tosfos, a mila is a mitzvah es shazman grama. It's a positive, time-bound mitzvah, and therefore, of course, women are pturos. What makes bris mila a time-bound mitzvah? Says Tosfos, shenimo b'shmila le'dasai, because the mitzvah of mila only begins on the eighth day. There's no mitzvah of mila before the eighth day. So that in and of itself limits the mitzvah. So since the mitzvah is limited from the eighth day and on, that's called the zman grama. And obviously, v'nashim p'turos. Of course, women are p'turos. So Tosa says, no, we're not so sure that qualifies as a zman grama. Why is that? V'yesh lo'em, says Tosa. Kevin de miyam ha-shmini v'hala ein lo hefsek lav zman grama hu. Says Tosa, zman grama means a mitzvah like shofar. Shofar comes once a year for 24 hours. It comes and it goes. It disappears till the next year. Comes back next year, 24 hours, disappears. Mitzvah lula, mitzvah sukkah, even mitzvah such as, say, tzitzis. Tzitzis comes in a day, disappears at night, comes in a day, disappears at night. That's called the zman grama. The mitzvah of mila, true, it didn't exist for the first 8 days, for 7 days, but once it comes, it's not going anywhere. The mitzvah remains the old and void. Of course, there's an idea of mitzvah mila bezmana. We'd like to be mal on the eighth day if we can, but if you can't, then the mitzvah continues for the duration of the time. So says Tosfos, we're not so sure that that's called a zman grama, and therefore, if not for the special pasuk to exempt women, the starting point would have been women are chayavos. So Tosfos thought that mila qualifies as a zman grama because it can't be done for the first week. Kamash Balan, that it's not true. That's not called Zman Grama. But then Tosfos rephrases the question, reformulates the question. So towards the end of the second line, the Tosfos third Zman comes from him. Toimar, akate mitzazesesh as Zman Grama. It's still a Zman Grama. The Ein Molin, Elabay Yom, says Tosfos, you're only allowed to perform a bris in the daytime. Kedisa Vipraka Orel, Gemara says in Yavamas, you're not allowed to do a Mila at night. The Ramah Paskin says that if you do a Mila by night, you have to redo it. You have to do a Tavastan bris. So the mitzvah of Mila is only a mitzvah that's noheges by yom, not by laila. That's, in fact, the classic zman grama. So the fact that Mila was not noeg for 7 days, and then it's noeg for the rest of the person's life, that doesn't qualify as a zman grama. But the fact that Mila is by day, not night, by day, night, night, by day, but not night, that's a classic zman grama. And women should have been peturos even without the gzeiras hakosov.
Especially a mother that's protecting after the father doesn't do it. There's no father. Basin's not around. It's like counterintuitive that we put a person in the status of kares, and the only person who can save the person from kares is the mother. Once we get, I'm talking about past eighth day. So we're eliminating her from, you know.
But the kares, you're correct that Mila carries with the kares, but the kares only begins once the person becomes bar mitzvah. Once the boy becomes bar mitzvah, he becomes chayv in the mitzvah. So we don't want him to be chayv kares, but nothing's going to happen for the next 13 years.
That's a mitzvah of the chi of misa as far as kares is concerned. But we're putting him in an educational status of being in that matzah into that.
But the question is not a mechayv. You know, you're 100% right. Is it a nice thing for the mother to do? Is it the proper thing for the mother to do? Is she looking out for the welfare of a child?
I'm talking about a chiyuv. It's the same category as all the other zman gramas because all the other
Now you're ready talking the lingo of Tosfos and Megillah. We're going to get that in a moment, okay? So Tosfos and Kedushin didn't think that way yet. Tosfos and Kedushin still thinks that Mila should fit into the regular rules of Zman Grama, no different than Shofar, Nulav, and Sukkah, and Kriyash, Vitzitz, etc. And therefore, women should obviously be Pturos. So if they're so obviously Pturos, so why do we need a Pasuk for? So Tosfos answers, you're right. V'yeshloimer says Tosfos. The end of the third of Mamakos V'yeshloimer. To ask you, command the Yomah Hosam. The Mila Shlobis Manon Regas Bem Yomay Malayla. There happens to be a Machlekes that Tanoim tucked away in Yevamos Daf Ayin Beis about the parameters of the halacha that a Mila has to be by Yom. Everybody agrees there's a din of Yom V'lo B'layla, but there's Machlekes that Tanoim. When does that din apply? So we happen to paskin that din the Yom V'lo B'layla applies across the board. A Mila can never ever be done by night. That's the reason why, Derech Agav, especially this time of year, you have to be very careful. A meal lechetchila is not supposed to be done until after Netzacham, until after sunrise. So we know sunrise these days is fairly on the late, 7:21, a few seconds of today. So sometimes you get invited to a bris that's early. I've been at brisim where I was not happy that the bris itself was starting a little bit too early, before the sun actually came up. I don't say anything because b'diyevet the Mishnah says it's still okay. As long as the bris is done, yet it's still all right. But lechetchila, bris is not supposed to take place until after Neitzachama. So that din, that a bris has to take place by Yom V'lo B'layla, we paskin that applies, whether it's the 8th day, the 9th day, the 100th day, it doesn't matter. Whether it's the Mila B'zmana, Mila Shlo B'zmana, a bris must be by Yom V'lo B'layla. But there's one Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon in Yevamos, who maintains that the din of Yom V'lo B'layla only applies to a Mila B'zmana, a Mila Shlo B'zmana, because then you do whatever you want. You want to do by Yom, you want to do by Layla, that's perfectly okay. So says Tosfos, according to the way we paskin, that a bris must be by Yom V'lo B'layla under all circumstances. So every bris is a Zman Grama. By definition, it's only by Yom V'lo B'layla. You can't have a bris at night. But according to Avolaz Rabbi Shimon, you can have a bris at night. You can't have a bris at night the first night. The eighth night, you can't have a bris at night. But from the ninth night onwards, you can have a bris l'chavchila at night. So according to Avolaz Rabbi Shimon, a mila is, in fact, not a Zman Grama. So says Tosfos, that's why the Gemara needed a pasuk to exempt women. That in Rosh Hashanah, according to the way we paskin, that Mila is a Zman Grama. It's never at night, no matter what. It can never be performed at night. So then it's a no-brainer. Of course, women up to us for Mila because it's a Zman Grama. The only reason why the Gemara needed a pasuk was according to cover its basis, even according to the Tana of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So when all the dust settles, if you would ask Tosfos in Maseches Kedushin Chavtes, Tachlis, bottom line, Halach L'maisa, why is it that a woman is Ptura for a Mila on her son? The real answer is because it's Zman Grama. That's the Emes answer. It's a Zman Grama. The Pasuk that the Gemara quote is, but needed for the Tana that we don't Paskin like. But now, Tosfos Maseches Megillah asks the same question, but now gives the answer much closer to what Henry is saying. So says Tosfos, V'hikshu ben Ephraim in the fourth of the Ramakamas, came with the Mila in a Balayla, same exact question. Since Mila is not at night, imkein avi mitzah se sha Zman Grama, shenasha Pturus yubena. If so, that it's a Zman Grama, women of Pturos, why do we need B'Prakam, the Kedushin, Kradio, So, Loma, Disha, and Achieves, Lomul? Why do we need a special Xerxa Kosov to exclude a woman? Typically, the mitzvah says she's Zman Grama. She should be excluded because it's simply given as Zman Grama. So listen to what Tosfos in Megillah says, radically different from what he says in Kedushin. V'yesh Lema. The Ilavo, So, if not for the Xerxa Kosov, Havamina, I would have said, the high dinoshim pturos mitzvah zeh zman grama. When do we say women up pturos from zman grama? High nu heichet aleka kares. When there's no kares, do me the matz of a simcha v'hakel. It's strange because those are all the examples that women are chayavos in. Those are zman gramas that women are chayavos in. The leisbu kares, none of them have kares. It's because we have all these exceptions to the rule that teaches us that zman grama women up pturos from. Aval mila sheyesh ba kares. Mila, which is a fundamentally different kind of a mitzvah, carries with the chorus. Not that the father is chayv chorus for not being mal the son, but the son is going to be chayv chorus. The nichso lesh losh rebrisos, and Mila so chomer that it has, says the word bris 13 times. Amina de mechayv nu nashim mamos benayu. I would have made a case to say, women are chayavos, kamash plano so delo. Therefore, so teaches me that women are in fact not chayavos. So when all the dust settles, it comes out that everybody agrees women are pturos to be mal their son, but we have radically different reasons why. According to Tosfos in Kedushin, the emes reason why women are pturos to be mal their sons is because it's a zman grama. That's the real compelling reason. The pasuk, that we don't really need the pasuk. Pasuk is superfluous for us. It's only needed according to a different Tana. According to Tosfos in Megillah, no. The pasuk is very much necessary, even according to us, because according to Tosfos in Megillah, the regular rule of Zman Grama breaks down in a mitzvah of Kares. So the real reason, the emes apoit there, according to Tosfos in Megillah, is the pasuk of Osov la Osa. So we have two different two different sources why women are pteros. Everyone agrees they're pteros. We're not quite sure why. Is it because of Zman Grama, Tazim Kedushin, or Zman Grama is not relevant, like Tazim and Gilbert Rad, because of Asavalosa? At the end of the day, does it make a difference? At the end of the day, women are pteros. We know women are pteros. We know that Tzipora didn't really have to do it. Not a shayla that women are pteros. So, my nafkamina, whether the pteros because of Zman Grama, or the pteros because of Asavalosa. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin Chavtes that Henry was referring to before, that there are three different levels of obligation of Bris Milah. What's supposed to happen is the father is supposed to do it. If for whatever reason the father is not alive, not around, not interested, not from, not Jewish, whatever, multiple reasons why the father is not doing the Bris, then the obligation rests upon the Beis Din. Beis Din meaning the entire Jewish community. If and when, for whatever reason, the Beis Din doesn't do what they're supposed to do, then it becomes an obligation, a personal obligation, that personal obligation only kicks in at the age of Bar Mitzvah. So the three levels, three gradations of obligation, the lechetchila way is the father should take care of it. The father doesn't do it, then the Beis Din, i.e. the Jewish community, and if that fails, then the child himself once he reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah. So when we speak about a woman being ptura from the Mitzvah Milo, which of these three are we referring to? Obviously we're not talking about the third. A woman doesn't have her own obligation, she doesn't have an orla. And clearly we're talking about the ptur of the father, because that's what the pasuk is talking about, asov la'osa. But what about the middle level? The obligation that rests upon the Jewish community, that rests upon the Beis Din. Yeah, Beis Din doesn't mean literally the Dayan, it means the Jewish community. Are women part of that obligation or not? Should we say that women are excluded from Mila? Mila, the obligation of Mila just doesn't speak to women. Women don't have to be mild their kids, they don't have to be mild themselves, they don't have to be mild Jews in their midst. The mitzvah of Mila, which is not given to women, hakol mikakol. What do I say? No, that's not true. That women were included in the obligation of community obligation, it just means that they're not obligated as a parent. That special, unique chiyuv that comes first of a parent being obligated to be mal a child, that's a father to a son. That's not a mother to a son. But in terms of the second level of commitment, the obligation of Beis Din, if it comes to a woman's attention that there's a child who needs a bris, she has to do everything in her power to make sure that child gets a bris. So what's the answer to that question? So the Chor, that depends on the 2 days in Tosus. If you hold like Tosus in Kedushin, that the real exemption for women is Zman Grama, so at the end of the day, Bris Milah is Zman Grama. A person's obligation of Bris Milah is Zman Grama, the father's is Zman Grama, the Beis Din is Zman Grama. If every single Bris under the sun can never ever be done by Laila, so then women don't have this mitzvah. Women are pturos from Tfilin and Tzitzis Krishma, the pturos from Milah. Milah just doesn't speak to women at all because of Zman Grama. But if you go down the root of the second Dan Taisus, the Taisus of Maseches Megillah Daf Chav, that Zman Grama is not a factor here, because Zman Grama doesn't apply when it's a mitzvah sheyesh b'kares. The only exemption is oso v'lo osa. That pasuk is talking about a father's obligation. V'yamal Avraham mitzitzach b'no. So maybe one can make a case that b'med devar mamun, when do we say a woman is exempt from Mila? That means she's exempt as a parent, but she's still obligated as part of the Jewish community. So that's a real shayla in poskim. That's a mamash shayla halacha l'maisa. Is a woman obligated in the midst of Bris Milah, b'toras Jewish community, or is she exempt entirely?
So the way the Rambam would hold would determine how we see it, meaning that Sfarim hold that if a woman's not mitzvah, she's not allowed to do the mitzvah.
Like that's a difference. The machlokes to the Sfarim and Ashkenazim is mitzvahs that women are pteros from. If she wants to volunteer, can she volunteer with a bracha now? So the Sfaradim say she can't follow in the Rambam, and the Ashkenazim say she can make a bracha following Rabbeinu Tam. But here I'm talking about maybe she's mamash obligated. And according to one Dan Tos, she's mamash b'chuyevus min ha-Torah, b'Torah's Beis Din, not b'Torah's parent. This is a somewhat unresolved answer in the poskim, shalom in the poskim. So I once received a shalom. A maisa. The shalom came to me as follows. A woman called me, and she said that, and it came to her attention in the course of our profession, that there was a certain child that she was dealing with, that the child had come from Russia, and the parents had not given a bris milah to the child. The child was still under the age of a mitzvah, and it came to her attention that this young man, this young boy, was still an aruch, had not yet received a bris milah. So she wanted to know, is she obligated to do something about it? Is she obligated to inform the parents, to talk to the parents, try to convince them? She said, you know, it's a very unprofessional thing to do, so she was very uncomfortable doing it, whatever, you know, shape the professional was. On the other hand, if the din is, she's not to figure out how to do it properly. So she asked me, what's that loch? Is she obligated to get involved or not? So I responded that, and tell those lomdas, that's 2 days in Texas. I said that, obviously, it's not your child, so you're not mechuyevus als a parent, but on the other hand, maybe you're mechuyevus als Beis Din. So according to one opinion in Tosafot Megillah, you're obligated al Beis Din. According to the other day in Tosafot, you're not obligated. But I said to her, once you told me this information, I am a chuyav, because once it comes to my attention that there's an oral in the midst of the Jewish community, according to all opinions, I, as a representative of the Jewish community, part of the Beis Din, in a sense, I have to take care of it. So I asked her, can you please do me a favor? Could you try to convince the parent to be my shalich? Try to convince the parent. If I'm going to go knock on the parents' door, they don't know why I'm for holding the wall. So they're not going to listen to me. So maybe you have an in with them. Maybe you can explain to them why it's so important. So even according to the day and time that she's Petura, maybe it would be nice for her to help me out. Well, Arva's helping me out to do my mitzvah. I think she tried. I don't think it worked. I don't think it. I guess they must have held like the other dead times. I don't know, whatever. It didn't go over too well. But I call upon him that issue, whether a woman has any level of chiyah whatsoever, ultimately depends on this shef. So the bottom line is, this story of Tzipora is a very halachically controversial story. A lot of things flying around in the story, because on the one hand, the psukim seem to describe Tzipora doing the bris herself. So that's a machlokes amaroim, whether that's even acceptable. And if you hold like it's not acceptable, so you have to reinterpret the whole story. Either she got a man to do it, or she started it, but she made it finish it. The 2 days in the Maseches Avodah Zarah. Then the second question is, why was she even doing anything? Was she really obligated to do it? So of course, the pshuto shebik, she was trying to save her husband's life, because Moshe Rabbeinu was in a lot of trouble. So it was almost like the similar story to this, that it was really Moshe Rabbeinu's issue, and she's doing it to try to help out her husband. Whether she was obligated, but there is based in, so to speak, also, so that would depend upon the the 2 days in Taisa. So getting back to the original Shaila about the woman who called the man who called me and wanted to know, should it be the Sanduk when the woman's being the Mohelet? So again, from the pure halachic point of view, according to many opinions, the bris would still be kosher, but still there are other opinions that wouldn't be kosher, and there are other meta halachic issues that are being thrown around, and other agendas, other kind of things flying around here. So I thought it would be probably a better idea for him not to be as actively involved in such a bris. But in terms of, is the bris mamish kosher? According to many, it is. Is the woman obligated at least to some degree? So according to some opinions, it tells us she would be obligated at least in some degree, even though as a general rule, a mother is not obligated in the middle of asa. Okay, stop here.
What's the halachic answer to why indeed was Moshe in danger? The father's not high of Lisa if he doesn't mal his son. So why was Moshe
higher than this? It was above and beyond the regular onshin. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a tiny error, because he was right in not bringing mal this child right away, because Kadosh Baruch told him to leave. So the only thing he was punished for, because he laid down in the hotel for a minute before he took care of the bris. So that's something you would never be chayav visa for that. But Moshe Rabbeinu was being judged, obviously, in a whole different level. Okay, stop here.
It's machlokas of bar mila. Is that the same machlokas in benching, whether chasam to be sarenu?
So the Gemara says that you have to say.